Are you ready for a war?
It's a trap.
Game over, man. Game over.
She's just killed a helicopter with a car.
I was out of bullets.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. We were reviewing Sleepwalk With Me on this podcast for March 15th. All right, and I'm joined today by...
Bama Rogers.
And...
Daniel Stahl.
And we're going to, hash out this little indie comedy here. And first, we're going to go into the box office. All right, first off, number one, grossing $79.1 million was Oz the Great and Powerful. Made a crap load of money, as expected. I saw it. It was really good. I'd highly recommend it if you're looking for a family movie. James Franco, awesome. So Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yep. Mila Kunis?
Mila Kunis was actually, in my opinion, the weakest part of that movie. And I think she's freaking awesome, but I didn't think she... I thought it was a little bit...
Was she beautiful?
Well, she was beautiful, yeah.
Okay, that's
but good. I didn't necessarily think she fit the role that she was presented in the movie. Anyway... She's a freaking awesome actress, though. So, yeah, Sam Raimi directed. That's the director of Spider-Man trilogy. So, in other words, awesome. And, yeah. So, check it out if you're looking for a family movie. Gorgeous. And I'd actually recommend the 3D on this one. Some of the best, I mean, just added a lot of fun to it. A lot of fun, actually. I was shocked at it because I was kind of surprised by how much I liked the 3D in the movie. But number two is Jack the Giant Slayer, $9.8 million. Yep, that's right. There's like a...
That's ridiculous.
There's like a $70 million difference between number one and number two.
That's crazy.
Clearly, people liked one of those fantasies a lot better than the other, because Jack the Giant Slayer did not bode too well. In fact, it's probably like one of the biggest losses of this year. Anyway, we talked about that last week, but yeah, not very good. It's kind of okay. Identity Thief is still number three, $6.3 million.
I want that movie to go away.
Yeah, me too. I don't understand why. I don't even understand. Like, it's not. No one's even saying good things about it. I don't understand why it just keeps coming back.
People are stupid. That's simply what it is.
I guess so. Because seriously, I've not heard one person say something positive about it. All right, number four was the other new opening, Dead Man Down, with $5.3 million. And number five was Snitch with $5.1 million. The movie is marketed like an action movie. It's really not. It's really a character drama that has some action in it. Just check it out. Ignore the marketing. Anyway, moving on. We're going to talk about the news. All right, Bama, what's going on this week?
All right, so I've got a bit of news about X-Men, Days of Future Past, but unlike...
Whoa! We need to, after this podcast, we're tabooing X-Men, Days of Future Past until there's real news about this movie. Freaking Brian Singer with his Twitter, I'm even joking, every day he's tweeting, oh, here's something, a casting announcement, or here's a picture of something or another.
Well, this isn't really a casting announcement. It's not about anyone that's going to be in the movie. It's about someone that... isn't going to appear in the movie. That was in X-Men First Class. Jason Fleming, who played Azazel, the red demon-looking guy that had the teleportation ability, he will not be appearing in this film.
Yeah, it's because his buddy Matthew Vaughn, director Matthew Vaughn, isn't directing, and they're kind of a team of pals. So yeah. not surprising he's not in the movie. Matt Vaughn's not directing.
But, since this character isn't going to be in the film, there is a rumor, probably not true, but we'll see eventually, that the other teleportation mutant known as Nightcrawler could maybe be in it, probably not, but we'll see where it goes.
That'd be cool, but I feel like I'd be shocked. Plus, I have to get Alan Cummings to come back, and for whatever reason, he's pressed to come back. Yeah. That'd be awesome, because I love Nightcrawler and X-Men 2. I loved X-Men 2 all around. But I feel like that would be tough. I don't see it happening. But it'd be cool. I'll be down for that. All right, Stoll, what's going on?
Well, just the last Saturday, March 9th, there was a new Star Trek trailer released. It was a little teaser, a little one-minute trailer. And I think this is actually the third trailer it's gotten. And so it came out, and I saw it. It was pretty good. You know, they're... slowly building it up, and it comes out May 17th. So yeah, it was a teaser trailer. So anyway, it came out, and so you know, more people trying to getting excited for.
Dude, I am so. More. There's the only movie I'm like remote. Like think maybe more excited about than this is. Man of Steel. This is my. I'm stoked for this movie. I'm more excited for this than Iron Man 3 or a lot of other movies this summer. Actually, I think Star Trek 2 looks fantastic, and I think that trailer really played up Chris Pine's kind of bad boy esqueness. So I don't know. I feel like they're still trying to make him out for that console, which I'm cool with because I think it's awesome. But that trailer totally is him being like a "I do what I want" type thing. I have two news items today. First one is a couple of date swaps for a couple of movies that you guys might be interested in. And this doesn't happen very rarely. This happens pretty rarely. I mean, usually movies get pushed back. It's pretty rarely they actually get them bumped up. It's kind of nice, actually. First one, the one that's a little more noteworthy, you guys might be more aware of, is Red 2 got bumped up 2 weeks and is now opening on July 19th. Boom. And the other one, a movie I'm really curious about, but you might not have heard of, it's called Now You See Me. It's a movie about rival magicians. Starring, and check out this cast list too. And I honestly highly recommend getting on and looking up the trailer as soon as you can because it looks really cool. It's called Now You See Me, and it stars Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo, Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine, Woody Harrelson, Isla Fisher. You're going to want to check that. I mean, it's a really cool trailer. That movie got bumped up 1 week and is now opening May 31st. So I think those are cool movies you want to keep your eye on. Red 2 especially. I feel like the first one, I mean, you get a 2 week little. I wish Star Trek would move up 2 weeks. The other news item I have is that the animated Star Wars The Clone Wars officially got the axe today. The creator of the show. Yeah, boo. I'm a big fan of the show, actually. Now, I haven't watched the last couple seasons, but the first three seasons are all really top-notch. And honestly, in a lot of ways, it's a lot better than the prequels. Like, I feel like the writing is significantly better than in the prequels. And Anakin actually feels like a more rounded character. But anyway... I was really bummed because all I've seen has been really great. And from what I understand, season 5, which is the last one I just aired, was fantastic. Some of the storylines that I read about sounded really, really great. Now, apparently there's a final batch of episodes that they're going to find a way to release somehow. The creator, Dave Filoni, came up and posted a video. He didn't say how specifically, but hey, we're going to have some episodes we're going to get out there somehow. But it will not be airing on Cartoon Network for sure. So if it airs on TV, you might get Disney XD. And something we were talking about before the podcast, actually, is that Lucasfilm is kind of scrubbing all of their old projects. Star Wars 1313, there was another game that was rumored to originally supposed to be scheduled for a beta right before Lucasfilm got bought that no one's heard a peep about. So they're kind of going through, they're getting rid of a lot of Lucasfilm's old stuff, they're kind of trying to start new, which, probably a good idea, since, you know, you're kind of swapping hands, but, I don't know, there's a lot of this old stuff, I think Clone Wars was especially strong, and Star Wars 1313 I really would have loved to have seen. So, you guys have any thoughts on the cancellation stuff?
Battlefield 3!
Not going to happen.
I want it to.
It'll happen eventually. It's going to happen when the new trilogy comes out, I'm sure, but
I
don't think it'll
happen before then. I want it.
I want it. I wanted it like a decade ago, too. Almost a decade ago. I think the last one came out in 2004. Anyway, so that's all we got today for the news. All right, moving on. Let's review the movie Sleepwalk With Me. Okay, so the movie Sleepwalk With Me is a movie about a burgeoning stand-up comedian who struggles with stress of a stalled career. He's kind of having some growing pains. He's got some nerve problems. So he's trying to figure out how to get some confidence and how to, like, come up some new material. He's a stale relationship. He's with a girlfriend for how long were they together?
8 years.
8 years, yeah. It was really a long time. 8 year relationship, but he's not really ready to get married. And then all the stress kind of comes about, and he has wild spurts of severe sleepwalking, and he's trying to ignore them and pretend it's not a problem. That's kind of the basic premise of the movie. This is a small independent comedy. Anyway, but we'll go ahead and start off with initial thoughts. Bama, what did you think of the movie?
I think this movie was very interesting. I like the premise of it. The writer and director of this film is actually the star of the film. And I believe it's actually kind of a story about himself.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Yeah, this is actually, he is doing a semi-autobiographical, yeah. Like, and it's kind of funny how he kind of breaks down the wall, because at the beginning,
yeah.
He's like talking to the camera, and he's like, all right, I'm going to tell you a story. And it's like the whole, everything you see is kind of like him recounting a story, you know?
Right. It's really interesting. You kind of come up to the point of where he's at as he's telling you his past. I thought it was interesting. Haven't quite completely decided how I like or maybe dislike this film. So hopefully with our little discussion here, I will fully realize how much I may or may not like this film.
All right, Stoll, what'd you think?
My initial reaction, I mean, I enjoyed the movie. It was a good film. It was different than what you see. But at the same time, I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just because we've done this podcast so much, or we've seen a bunch of different, you know, romantic-ish type movies. I felt like there was, I've seen certain elements of it before in other movies that we've done in this, throughout this podcast. So I felt like I was seeing a little bit of what I've already seen a little bit. But
do tell, which movie would you compare it to?
I thought there was little bits of pieces of everything. I thought there was hints of Lost in Translation a little bit in there. I thought there was tidbits of Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind in there. Things, just little tiny pieces of different movies kind of thrown in together. So I felt, I was like, oh, this, you know, it's just a movie trying to be kind of be a romantic comedy kind of, but doing it different. But I've already seen other romantic comedies try to be different. And so it was unique. I'm not saying it's not unique, but I felt like there was little pieces. I was like, I feel like I've already kind of watched part of this a little bit. Not the movie as a whole, but little pieces of it.
IMDb actually categorizes it as a comedy.
I wouldn't lump, honestly, I would not put it as a romantic comedy. There's romance in it, though.
There's
elements of romance in there, but I
don't think there's enough to really call it a romantic
comedy. Because it's not about the relationship.
I wouldn't call it a romantic comedy either, but there's definitely lots of romance in it. For at least three quarters of the movie.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just felt like, it was a good film. I enjoyed it, but I felt like there was parts that I was just sort of kind of like, I've seen this angle before, I guess.
You know, and I actually really like this movie because I think it's a lot different. First and foremost, is what we talked about. He kind of breaks the fourth wall. He's telling a story of himself. And this guy, I don't know how much work this guy went through hell to get this thing made. He had to go around pitching the script, pitching this thing before he get the funding for this thing. He had to work really hard. And this is the stand-up comedian Mark, Birbiglia. Mike Birbiglia. And he had to work really hard for a couple of years trying to get this thing made. So, for me, it's really impressive that it got made. But second off, I feel like this breaks the mold of a lot of comedies. Honestly, that's why I like it. It feels fresh. It feels new.
Yeah.
Anytime you have romantic elements, it's going to carry over. It's like that in any movie. I think the romantic elements this incorporates are different because of the way the movie ends, which we'll talk about later. But I don't know. I thought it was a really fresh take. It's not really about anything. It's about a guy telling his story and how he get. And he's not even telling you. I mean, it's kind of like how he went through a period of his life, basically. Yeah. And I thought it was real. I thought it was organic. Felt very organic. A lot of the time, it felt very honest and really. It was just really funny.
He never really told you too much. He never kind of overstepped what he was saying. Like, as he was telling you the story, the story flowed really well. Nothing. He never gave you a hint as to what could happen next. It was just a very clear line. Really good storytelling,
right,
I would say.
Right. Oh, great storytelling. Because I feel like, you know, everything he does is like, it's heightened reality. And if you, once you get to the credits, you'll see a lot of the stuff he talked about. He had pictures in the credits of actually when it happened. There's a point in the movie where he's sleepwalking. And we'll give the premise. Basically, he has these like sleepwalking things where he's dreaming and he sleepwalks and whatever's happened in his dreams kind of happens. There's a point where he's getting attacked in his dream and he like freaking jumps headfirst out a window. It's really funny. That actually happened though. There's actually pictures of him jumping on his leg and stuff like that. The broken window. So like this stuff actually happened.
Him in the hospital.
So it's like he's recounting the story, being very honest, but just, you know, embellishing a little enough to make it really funny, too. Because maybe it's fairly dramatic, you know? I feel like it got into, you got inside this guy's head a lot. It's kind of cool. But basically, you kind of start off, he's a bartender, he's struggling to get a career, so he's looking for confidence builders. he talks to some old guys here and there, and he gets hooked up with an agent literally who just makes him do like, who calls him up for like the crappiest jobs you could imagine. And as he's going through his career, he kind of discovers partway through the movie that he just kind of lacks, and he just is honest about his stories. They're funnier. So he starts talking about his relationship problems on the road, and it's, people think it's really funny because he's really able to spin it, you know? So, I don't know. Anyway, what other thoughts you guys have on this movie?
I really enjoyed like you were talking about, the evolution of his comedy from when he started out. I mean, he had, I think he said like 10 or 11 minutes worth of material that he could use, and he actually had to do a show where he had to have 30 minutes of material, and it's just like, I have to stretch this 11 minutes into 30, which I think would almost be nearly impossible. And he gets some, I guess some okay tips from another comedian that he was opening for, basically telling him to, you know, kind of point things out at the crowd, you know, make fun of him a little bit, but he didn't quite know how to do it at that point. He's at a point where he's trying to get a laugh from people, and he just looks at a guy and he's like, "Hey, it's a crappy shirt you got on," and it's just it's yeah. so terrible. And he's like,
"He sounds like a jerk."
Look,
yeah.
No one says a word. No one laughs. And he's just like, "I'm sorry." And it's just like that's not how comedians should.
No, those first like three or four comedians that come in, like stand up scenes he does are just terrible. He bombs hardcore.
But like, I mean, his girlfriend is nice to him. His friends are nice to him, saying, "Oh, you did a good job." But you know, all the while he knows that he's not doing that well. But eventually, when he starts, you know, kind of opening his life up to people, his comedy gets better, and it really makes him think a lot about his life as he's starting to open it up even more, and he starts to realize that there are some things in his life that he needs to get rid of.
Right. And that movie's kind of like him all coming to the conclusion. He's at this really kind of like melancholy stage of life, but maybe melancholy is not the right word. He's just kind of like stuck. Okay, in translation. But it's not just a weekend unlike in that movie. This is like a period of like months where he's kind of like, he doesn't know what direction he wants to take his life, and he wants to be a comedian, but he's afraid. He's struggling with his relationship with his girlfriend. She wants to get married. They've been dating for 8 years, but he doesn't want to propose. You know, he wants to move, but he doesn't want to have to break his girlfriend. So, I mean, like, you have all these different, like, little things, and basically this whole movie is about him kind of learning about himself, and once he starts to acquire confidence, he actually starts to make these decisions that, as tough and interesting as it may be, I don't know. It just feels like, I think the reason I really like this movie is it really feels honest and transparent, while also being really funny. I don't feel like there's very many comedies out there like this, because I feel like most of them are designed to be funny. That makes sense. Okay, comedies a lot of times are created to make you laugh every 2 seconds. This movie is very funny, but at the same time, like, it's the point of it's not to be funny; it's to tell a story in a very comedic manner. I feel like there's a distinct difference personally, and I don't know if you guys agree with that. A lot of your really big comedies, you know, especially Will Ferrell, like say Will Ferrell, those movies are designed to make you laugh. They're not
a lot.
They're not much. I mean, that's fine, and I enjoyed a lot of those comedies, but.
Kicking and screaming, Elf. Right. You're laughing pretty much.
They're not really worried about the story they're telling is not really as important as much as you laughing at it. This one, I mean, they want you to laugh. I mean, it's a comedy. He's obviously telling it in a very comedic manner, but it's also like a very nice, kind of heartfelt story, you know, which I think is really important. For me, at least for me in comedy, that's something I really respect is stuff. Like, I like stuff that's got more substance, more, it's a little more dramatic. Not that this movie is dramatic, it's just there's a little more, there's real characters.
It's more realistic.
Much more realistic. And the characters are arc, and yeah. Do you have anything you want to say?
I mean, maybe I'm a jerk for saying this, but I mean, I think he was the fact that he's a real person, it makes me feel like a jerk for saying this. Like, the story's somewhat real, but there was at times where I was really annoyed with him.
You're a jerk.
Well, you should be annoyed with him.
I didn't really find him that likable. Like at times, I don't know.
You're such a jerk, Storm.
You are a jerk
because I'm criticizing an actual person's life. Like I have to view it as a film, not as his actual like life.
But it's both though.
It is both.
Yeah,
and I know. And so I don't want like honestly, if I saw this as like a real person's experience or whatever, I'd probably feel a lot differently about it. But from a movie perspective, as a character perspective. And then there were times where I was pretty frustrated with him, annoyed with him, and didn't necessarily, and was like, well, you know what, you kind of deserved that. Like,
I agree, I think you're supposed to feel that way, because that was the whole thing. He was very, he was complacent the almost the entire movie, which got annoying to the point.
Very
indecisive. You know, I mean, like, well, at the very beginning when he's with his girlfriend, and you can just tell he's very indecisive. You can tell he's like, oh, she really wants to get married. We've been dating for 8 years. And then he reflects on their whole
like
relationship.
She's watching, like, all these wedding shows, baby shows.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
he, like, looks at their TiVo, and there's, like, every episode of, like, married with kids and
I
stuff
wonder
like that.
If she wants to get married and have kids.
And then when she tries to talk to him about it, he's, like, really complacent. Yeah, it is annoying. I think you should be annoyed with him. And you know, to say, I think all of us, if we totally made a movie of our lives, we'd all be like that. All of a sudden, days like that where... Or
oh, I'd be
like
super
that.
Annoying.
Oh, I mean, I'm serious. I'd be annoying. I'd be like, oh, my gosh, what a jerk. This guy's a... gosh, he's such a downer, man. You know, so, I mean, I think that's kind of the point, because I don't think you're supposed to sympathize with him at all points in time. So, I mean, that's fine. I think that's perfectly natural feeling. I felt like I liked him a lot more at the end, though, because he did make the decisions he made, and I was like, yeah, you know, he's progressing. It's not like he's just... you know, backpedaling or anything like that. All right, well, you know, not a ton to summarize or analyze, although I would say this is kind of like a slice-of-life movie. But I think it's a lot broader than some of the other slice-of-life movies we've looked at, because this actually covers a pretty vast amount of time, at least several months.
I'd say maybe 6 months.
6 months, so probably. Yeah, six-ish, yeah. So this is like, it's more looking at a slice-of-life from a broad, it's, instead of looking at a day or a week in the life of, this is like a period of life. And anyway, I think all of us, I think that's for me, that's where I really connect with the movie, was not necessarily with his decisions, but with, you know, we all go through times of life like this, where stuff is kind of like that. You know, it's kind of complacent, you got to make decisions. So, but we're going to go ahead. I think we've kind of chat out the movie so far, so we'll go ahead and get to our spoiler section.
Spoiler section. Right now.
So, in the movie, Gimlet comes along, and, you know, my, one of the reasons I really like this movie is because, basically, Matt breaks up with his fiance, or she breaks up with him. She breaks up with him, right?
They mutually
break up.
Yeah, I'd say.
He's the first one to start the conversation.
Yeah, okay. They break up, and you know what was really awesome? They break up, and it's not like the world's ending like pretty much any rom-com you've ever seen. You know, it's actually a good thing, and both of them end up being better people and better places because of it. He decides that what he really wants to do with his life, she can't be a part of, and it's not good for him, and vice versa, you know. And basically, they were just together because they liked each other, but they didn't love each other, and they weren't really compatible, but they neither one of them wanted to break it off. So, thoughts?
Yeah, my favorite part, of the movie, I felt like there was a good message here, because I feel like there's actually a lot of people who probably have this happen, is when, like we said, he's kind of narrate at certain points, it goes back to him like in the present, and he kind of like narrates some of his past experiences and things like that, and it goes to him after they've kind of broken up, and he said, you know, I came across her later in life, years after we broke up, she got married eventually and had kids with, you know, and all those sort of things that she wanted to have happen. He says, you know, I went out and I actually met her, you know, and talked to her. I was like, why'd you stay with me for so long? And this is what she said to him. She said, I just didn't want to hurt you. And he says this line, which is my favorite line in the whole movie. This was the point that was like kind of redeeming for me. I was kind of like, when I got to this point, I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to like this movie. This was kind of like the redeeming quality for me of this movie. He says, you know, how about that? We spent 8 years together and we didn't break up sooner because we didn't want to make each other mad. I feel like there's probably a lot of relationships that are just like that, you know, because they're actually, you know, a lot of times we hear about relationships where people just break up all the time and are, you know, get mad at each other and do all those things. But there's also those people who are really genuinely nice people and they actually, you know, don't want to just break up with someone, you know, on the spot. They actually care and things like that.
Well,
so
I think it's kind of a comfort thing with their relationship and also with, you know, other real people, real relationships. Like you become so comfortable with someone for so long, it's really hard to see them with someone else or to not have them in some aspect of your life.
Even if you're not like even in if a you don't deep, really affectionate love relationship.
Each yeah. other.
It's still, you're so comfortable with that right. person being involved in your life.
And it fit, and so it fits with that complacency he's always had because he didn't move on, he didn't do this stuff because he was comfortable. He was.
He didn't want to put himself out
there. He didn't put himself out there. He was okay with being mediocre. I mean, like, he's like, yeah, life could be better, but, you know, I got a girl. And I got a job.
I work at a bar.
And
it was also hard. We didn't mention this. His entire family is like pushing for him to get married to her. They always say things like, she's the best. She's a keeper. You want to marry her. Right. She's like the best girl you could ever have.
They go to his sister's wedding, and someone's like, you're going to be next. And it's just like, stop pressuring me.
That makes it even harder on him because he's, you know, at the beginning of the film, he starts feeling like he doesn't want to be in a relationship with her anymore, but he struggles with ending it because he doesn't want to hurt her feelings. He deeply cares for her, but he just doesn't want to spend the rest of his life with her. And so he kind of struggles with his family also pushing him very hard to try to marry or whatever. And so that was my favorite part is when they break up on good terms, you know, saying like, you know what, like this is what's best for both of us. You know, so that was probably my favorite part of the movie. I thought it ended very well.
Yeah, I really liked the ending, and I felt like, again, it was really cool because, you know, like this guy moved from one period of life to the next. And a lot of times that means you gotta, like, there's certain things you gotta let go of, you know? Like, because sometimes maybe not everybody or everything you're holding on to is good for you. I think this is, you know, a really good, you know, to get really kind of philosophical, but maybe should people, like, should stop and question, what do I have in my life that's like that? I think all of us do if you look hard enough.
Am I too comfortable?
And that's that is great. Am I too comfortable? Am I satisfied with, you know,
with what I have?
With what I've got? And this is what I really
want to
do.
Is there a desire to want more?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great question. You know, am I doing what I want to do, or is this really what I want to do, or am I just comfortable and I don't want to move on?
Yeah, and I think this is what happens a lot to people who end up in a job that they don't really like, or that, you know, people always say you need to get a job that you love because then you won't ever work a day in your life, you know.
Yeah.
And we see several movies that, you know, portray this idea and literature and art and things like that. Like the idea of we get stuck in this office job that we just absolutely hate and our life just becomes, you know, and then our relationships are all affected because we're just settling for less. That we don't really aren't passionate about.
Well, and I think it's really relevant to us young adults here because, I mean, a lot of times what happens, a lot of people do have dreams. They get out of college, but let's face it, out of college, you're not going to get the dream job. So,
all right, I'm going to state it.
Very true.
I'm going to state this right here on this podcast. This podcast in 20 years, we're still going to be going 20 years from now. We're going to be rich and famous because of the podcast.
That's right.
That's my dream for this podcast.
If not, we're going to be like, we're going to, like, have a 20th anniversary podcast.
Because I love this podcast. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
My dream. So we're going to be like this guy. This movie's inspired me to say, you know, we're not going to settle for the bar 11-minute comedy routine. We're going for the 30-minute
routine. 30-minute routine. Like,
we're going across the country getting paid.
Bam.
That's what's happening.
I have a dream that one day we will podcast together.
With Kevin Smith.
Oh, crap. That would be awesome.
Listen, man, all you need to do is get popular enough. I'll give him a call and be like, dude, I've been listening to your podcast.
We can do it, guys.
And then he will say yes, and there will be lots of expletives in there that you don't want to hear. But anyway, that would be awesome. And then, after Kevin Smith, the world. Okay? That's what I'm saying.
Or
BCD version of the world. Come on.
Or I can act in Game of Thrones. Whatever. Whatever can happen.
Good luck with that.
Right, still, I mean, he's got a beard already. So,
yeah,
you know,
I can pull it off. I can be a Stark.
You can be a Stark. I don't know if you want to. I'll
probably die.
I don't think you want to be a Stark. Just saying, Stark.
I'd be able to play a Stark better than probably the rest of them.
A lot of those, yeah, but you would die. Okay, anyway. So, we're going to go ahead and we'll talk more about Starks and stuff in a second. But we're going to go ahead and rate it. But I just want to say, come in this movie. But, you know, you get out of college. And you have this dream job you want. You're not going to get it, more than likely, because that's just how the world works. You have to pay your dues. And a lot of people, they kind of like get a job, they become comfortable, they get a girlfriend, they're comfortable. Kind of, you know, I really feel like this is where he ends up. And he even talks about his college days. And he gets out of college, and yeah, he really wants to be a stand-up comedian, but he gets used to the routine. And they're like pursuing his dreams. It's like, oh, you know, and at one point you almost forget what your dream is, you know?
Yeah. Oh, they actually met in college, too.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's what they hooked up at. So anyway, that's my final closing thought for anyone listening out there. So yeah, Starks. And we're going to talk about buzz items.
In a second.
After we give it our rating.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So, Bama, what do you give this movie?
You know, after talking about it for a while and, you know, kind of looking at myself with this, because this is kind of a place that I'm kind of in myself. You know, I graduated just last year, and, you know, I'm not in what I would call a perfect job. I mean, I'm in a really good job. I'm in a good place, but it's not quite where I want to be. So I can really connect with this film in that sense. So I'm gonna give this a pretty decent grade, probably better than what I rate most movies. I'm gonna give this an A, solid A.
That's an A.
I think this film, I mean, like I said, it connected with me very well. I don't know how it connects with you guys. I mean, this is kind of a look into the future for you guys, I guess. But for this time frame, I guess I would grade this higher because I can really connect with it. That's what I'm going to give.
Hey, that's totally cool. Because sometimes movies that's the best thing about movies. Like, there's sometimes, and this is why I think rewatching movies is really great. Because some people are like, oh, I want to rewatch movies. Because sometimes there's movies just like connect with you. And I mean, I don't know if I connected this movie the same way you did, but like I know when you have those connections with movies. You're like, wow, I just totally feel like I'm that character, or I get that situation or so. So I totally understand. Like, you know what? And I think that's totally viable, because that's what the whole point of movies is, you know?
The only way I don't connect with this guy is I don't have a girlfriend. That's the only way.
I don't know. Bama, you are A material, okay? Don't sell yourself short. How would you grade this movie?
All right. I was coming in thinking I was probably going to give us a B-. But through the course of our conversation, I realized I have a lot more respect for this than I thought I did, and I like it a lot better. I did watch the movie today, so I've had a super lot of time to think and really think about it and dwell on it. So, but I've upgraded my grade. My grade after kind of talking about it. I'm not going to go as far as an A, but I do see a lot of good in this movie. I see what it's trying to do, and you know, I respect a lot of it. So I'm going to go with B+.
B+? All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, I really have a lot of respect. I saw this movie at the Oklahoma Museum of Arts with a couple buddies, and it was my first experience there, so it was really cool. So I have a little bit of nostalgia. I mean, it's only been a few months, but it was really cool. I was like, this is kind of cool. And it just, when I saw it, it was just a different type of movie. It was an indie movie. It was an indie comedy. I don't know. It just really connected with me at the time. I think it's really funny. I think it's a very fresh movie, and after watching it, and most of it, I don't know, it's still really resonating, and I just feel very fresh, and like I feel like the honesty's there, and to see real human beings struggle with stuff, or not really struggle, but like have these periods in lives that, I mean, maybe I can't connect specifically to, but like I understand what it means to be like and be in a period like that, and I appreciate the honesty, and I think the movie is very, very funny, and I think the fact that it all happens is cool, and again, this movie got made is pretty awesome. So, Sleepwalk With Me. What do I give it? I give it an A. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. And this is a comedy, dude. I don't give comedies.
Caleb doesn't really like most comedies.
I'm just surprised that you both gave it an A. Usually if one of you is giving an A, the other one's not on board with the A.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. This one, I really like this movie. Like, it just feels fresh and different. Like, although, yes, there is familiar elements of that kind of the romance, but, like, there's just something about it. And like when they actually broke up at the end, I was like, wow. And it's not like a, you know, the way they portray it, it's like, hey, this actually was better in the long run. You know, like that's just something you don't see.
Yeah.
And you don't see people deal with stuff like this, I guess. But anyway, so that's an A. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to see what's fired up in here, man. All up in here. So. All right. So what are we excited about? Fired up. What is tingling inside our brains saying you must be excited for me? What are you obsessing over? What are we obsessing over this week? What are we junkies for this week? What do we like love almost as much as we love Jesus at Christian University for? Okay, Bama, here's what we do. What has you fired up like no other this week?
Bama, Bama.
Wow, you went way too intense for me there.
Are you not fired up?
I
are you not entertained?
By you two, no, not so much. But I am excited.
You don't like our arguing?
It's interesting, and I like to sit back and talk and just, you know, kind of listen to you guys talk, and I'll throw in my comments, but you know what? Anyway, what I'm excited for coming up this weekend, it's not anything that has to do with video games, movies, or anything. My parents are actually coming up to Oklahoma City to visit me. Me and my dad are going to go to Oklahoma City Thunder game.
Against
the Orlando Magic.
Bam!
It'll be a great time. And my mom's going to clean my apartment. So, what could be better than that?
What's better than that? Hey, listen, man. Here on the BCD, we support family love and nuclear families. If you don't have a family with
not
that,
not the Game of Thrones family, type of family.
Not though. But we like it when you love your families, because we love our families too. So go out and love your family, and not the Jamie Lannister type of way. Okay. So anyway, what am I fired up about this week? Okay. So there's this thing, this Comic Con I've been talking about.
Woo!
I was not going to go just because of a lot of different reasons, but. Gosh dang it, this freaking celebrity list is killing me.
It keeps getting better.
Like, every day, it's like, hey, someone new is going to be here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't not go. And there's actually people I would pay to autograph for. And I'm like, the last one, there's a couple that I guess, had I been prepared, I might have paid for. But this one, I'm like, oh my gosh. So, Dallas Comic Con, the weekend of
May 17th through the 19th.
It's also the weekend Star Trek 2 comes out, and that will be a problem, and I will work it out.
That could be a problem.
And I will work it out somehow. Anyway, so, but let's get on this cast list, or this special guest list here, because this is why I'm really excited about this Comic-Con. Yeah, William Shatner. Everyone loves the Shat. He's cool, but, you know, anyway, I'm not as excited about him.
He's just talking about William Shatner like he was nothing.
William Shatner's awesome. He's the Shat.
It's just William Shatner, you know? Listen, William Shatner, if you're listening.
Just one of the faces of Star Trek.
This is the best Star Trek. No. I think it's cool that he's going to be
Priceline.
It's cool. Priceline negotiator.
Exactly.
Okay. Listen, I mean, I'm glad he's going to be there because it's awesome, but let me say this.
Why are you not more excited for William Shatner?
I want to see him fight that dinosaur. If he fights the dinosaur, I will be stoked, okay? But here, let me get to the rest of it, okay? I haven't seen a ton of the original Star Trek. I've seen several episodes, but I don't have that connection. But anyway, I'm excited he's going to be there. Anyway, more excited here. Let me get to the good ones, okay? Nathan Fillion's going to be there.
Oh.
Fanboy moment.
That's definitely why I want to go.
Because the Firefly would be the big reason. I want to go. He is not my top, but I am very excited that he's going to be there, and I would love to. Even if it's to see him from a distance, or hopefully he does one of those little band panel things.
I hope so, too.
That would be really cool.
I mean, Alan Tudyk was there at the last one we went to.
Right. And we saw him from a distance.
Yeah, we saw him from a distance. I tried to get a good picture of him from a distance. It didn't work.
Those fans blocking everything.
So I may actually try and get a photo with Nathan Fillion.
Do it. I bet it'll be like $80. Let's try it.
It's well worth it.
Yeah, if we could get together and not get group pictures this thing,
yeah,
it'd be kind of cool. But anyway, continue on to the next person. Brandon Ralph, Ruth, however the crap you say his name. Superman from Superman Returns / the vegan Evil X. What's his name again?
Crap.
I can't remember his name.
Todd?
Todd, yes. Todd from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the vegan with vegan superpowers. Yes, he is going to be there. And I'm a Superman. I like Superman. So, yeah, I mean, that's cool. I'd like to hopefully meet him. As a Fringe fan, John Noble. And for those of you who don't watch Fringe, and you should because it's awesome. And John Noble has been constantly snubbed of an Emmy nomination every year, just saying.
He's also got plays Denethor.
Exactly. If you don't watch Fringe, he plays Denethor in Lord of the Rings. There's a couple other ones here you might know of. You know, Jason Dayfrey, you know, Green Ranger. Catherine Sutherland, Pink Ranger, second Pink Ranger. Let's see here.
And Zio.
Oh, and Zio. She was in Zio. Yeah. Let's see. Kelly Hugh, who is Deathstrike and X2. Not a big one. Ernie Hudson, who is from Ghostbusters. Lamar Burton.
Reading Rainbow.
Oh, yeah. Reading Rainbow guy. That's where he's from. Okay. Yeah, Reading Rainbow guy.
Not just the Star Trek guy.
The Reading Rainbow guy. And you know who else is going to be there?
That's my childhood.
Your childhood right there. Now, I remember the Reading Rainbow. I remember. All right.
Come take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow.
Yes.
Hey, Caleb's has sung in some of these podcasts. I get to sing.
He does get to sing. You can sing if you want to.
Next week is your turn, sir.
We sang Ghostbusters together. Okay.
Oh, yeah, right,
Brent Spiner, who plays Data in Next Gen. Okay, but here's... Hold on. I'm getting the ones I'm really excited about. And by ones, I mean one. Okay. Kevin Conroy. The voice of Batman. And I'm not saying, no, there is no other voice. He's the voice, okay? There's other voice actors that try, and there's even a couple that get really close. Bruce Greenwood gets really close, but they aren't Kevin Conroy. I'm a fanboy for Kevin Conroy. When I read Batman comics, you know whose voice I hear when I read Batman? Kevin Conroy. You know who like pretty much defined Batman for my childhood? Mm-hmm. Kevin Conroy. You know who played Batman Arkham Asylum in Arkham City? You know who they went with? Not a second writer. They went with Kevin Conroy. And you know what I say to that? I love Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy.
And you know what's about Kevin Conroy? I listened to the Smodcast with Kevin Smith on Kevin Conroy, and I almost cried.
Kevin Conroy.
You have to understand this guy.
Kevin Conroy.
Because he was interviewing Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy
told a heartbreaking story that made me cry. Okay?
Kevin Conroy.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Kevin Conroy.
So you know why I'm going to Comic-Con? So I can meet Kevin Conroy. Okay.
Please, someone count how many times we've said Kevin Conroy.
Take a shot, and take a dollar, something like that.
Every time we said Kevin Conroy, count it and see how many times we said Kevin Conroy.
Yes, Kevin Conroy.
And then now, from this point on, whenever I eventually get that bell for next season, every time Kevin Conroy comes up, it's a ding.
Conroy Kevin?
Conroy Kevin. All right, and there are more to come, but out of the celebrities, those are the ones I want to see the most. There are others.
Is that Mr. Fantastic?
That is Mr. Fantastic, the guy who has no career outside of that movie.
Yeah.
Is it really sad I don't know the actor's name? Looks like
no, it's not very. That's not that sad.
You know, actually, I'm not even gonna bother. The guy who played Mr. Fantastic and Fantastic Four is gonna be there, but I don't care.
And Rise of the Silver Surfer. Kevin Conroy.
There are more coming out, but they're not gonna use Kevin Conroy. You know, it'd be better than Kevin Conroy if Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill were both there. I would have a nerd attack. Anyway, now you've heard my fanboy. I'm fired up. Okay, so Stoll. Now that I have Kevin Conroy this podcast, what are you excited about?
You guys don't even know what I'm excited about.
Kevin Conroy?
I'm not excited. Well, Kevin Conroy is awesome. It's cool for Kevin Conroy.
If you're not cool with Kevin Conroy, you're going to get stabbed in the throat. So.
Well, I'm not super excited. I'm not as excited about Kevin Conroy as Caleb is.
That's okay. You're not as excited as me. You just have to say he's awesome. Then we're good.
Kevin Conroy is awesome. But
he's being held at gunpoint
right now. I'm about to do this.
What are you about to
do? It's okay. I said Kevin Conroy 18 times within 20 seconds. He's about to do what I think he's about to do.
For the fifth podcast in a row. Yesterday, or well, I don't think it was yesterday. I think it was actually Saturday, but I saw it yesterday. There was a little 15-minute clip released, you know. It was a cool little clip. You know, I watched the clip. It was a fun little clip. Now you have to see how many times I said clip.
was Kevin Conroy part of the clip?
Kevin Conroy was not part of the clip. But... It was a little recap of a season two of a TV show.
What TV show could you be talking about?
What possibly could you?
Game of Thrones. Winter's coming. Okay. anyway, I'm excited about Game of Thrones. If you guys haven't picked up on this yet,
even was the last five episodes or so.
You wouldn't know that. So now you know.
Kevin Conroy.
I saw yesterday a little 15-minute clip. It was a quote unquote recap of season two, and all the different actors and actresses that play some of the bigger roles within Game of Thrones. They were all talking about their specific character, and they sort of recapped where their character is at this end of season two. It was really cool getting to hear some of the. I always like hearing what actors and actresses have to say about their characters.
You know who's almost as fun to say? Whose name is almost as fun to say as Kevin Connolly? Peter Dinklage. That's Peter Dinklage's podcast.
He totally does not have the same voice.
I know. He doesn't at all. He's got a Jersey accent.
Yeah, and it was. I was like, wow, he is a very... like that impressed me much more about him once I figured out he's actually accenting that the whole time. That's not what he sounds like at all.
Well, because I remember when he was in Elf, and he was playing like some children's book writer. Yeah, very different accent from that.
Yeah, but it was definitely cool to hear all the actors and actresses talk about their specific character and... all of them sounded, they actually had really good commentary on what they were saying, and all of them seemed very intelligent. You know, when they were talking about their specific character, they felt like they knew their character very well. Even Joffrey impressed me a little bit.
Yeah.
He's a good actor.
Did you want to punch him in the face when he came?
When I first saw him, I wanted to punch him in the face, but then he started talking. It wasn't Joffrey. I could tell that it was this actor.
It was a kid from Batman Begins, the one that was so nice, and Batman gave the goggles to, and you're like, oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, but he actually had some really good, you know, he said some really good things about the Joffrey character.
You know what needs to happen, right?
But one of the coolest things I thought, I know that there are actors that do this. Rob Stark's actor, I don't remember all the actors' names because there's a lot of them, but he actually talks in the first person when he refers to Rob. So he said things like, well, I don't want to spoil anything for you guys, but when he talks about stuff like, yeah, when I went into Winterfell, I did this and this. And so, I felt this way. And so he kind of talked about the first person, which that was kind of cool to do. But anyway, if you're a big Game of Thrones fan, you need to look that up. You need to see it. And if you're not a big Game of Thrones fan, you're crazy. So
you need to watch it. And you need to go and see it's a season 2 recap. So if you really just want to watch season 3 when it comes on, you want to miss the awesomeness of season 1 and 2.
It doesn't really recap all of season 2. It just recap. What they do is they talk about where the character is at the end of season 2.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, good. Cool. So, I did not finish this. I watched the beginning, but didn't finish
it. You need to finish it. It's really pretty cool.
I will absolutely finish it. You know what I was thinking, though? This kid had the goggles from Batman. See what that means? Kevin Conroy is going to voice Batman when he attacks Joffrey. That's how Joffrey's going down, man. Batman.
Joffrey's
Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy. Kevin Conroy, listen to this podcast.
Kevin Conroy showed up in that clip, and he killed Joffrey.
And he sounded awesome, okay? All right, so I think we're about to wrap this up, Kevin Conroy style, by saying, I can't even mimic it. I am the night.
I'm not going to try.
Okay.
Because I'm not Kevin Conroy.
Okay, you know what we need to do? Just talk about what movies are coming out this weekend. So, 2 movies come out this weekend that might or not be worth notice. The first is the wonderful, magnificent Burt Wonderstone. The comedy, it's got Jim Carrey and...
Ben Stiller.
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell and... Oh, Steve Buscemi. It's Steve Carell, Steve Buscemi, and Jim Carrey all in this little comedy magician movie. I don't know a whole lot about it. I'm slightly intrigued. I don't know if I'm going to catch it or not. I'd like to, but I'm also
looks interesting.
I'm also not, like, crazy. If I don't see it, I'm not going to die or anything. But the other movie being The Call, it's got Halle Berry, something about her answering some phone call. The only reason I mentioned is because I got an invite from the press, and I didn't accept it, obviously. So, anyway, it's worth looking into. Right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this puppy up.
Kevin Conroy.
I wish Kevin Conroy could read the end. All right, so follow us on, get on our Facebook group and like us, BCD Flixers. Follow us at Twitter on BCD Flixers. I'm at BigCalKenobi91 or at Masters_review. Again, feedback's great. We take suggestions. However, 2 things. One thing. We may be taking a break here in a couple weeks. We're going to take a season break and maybe take a breather, kind of refocus, and decide if we want to keep doing this podcast the same way we've been doing, if we take a new direction. One of the possibilities we've tossed out there is doing a Game of Thrones fan podcast where we get us and probably a few other guys together and just talk about the breakdown of each episode of Game of Thrones. So we really want to know what you guys think about it. And if you can, Facebook message us or tweet us or even talk to us in person if you're a MacU student. And let us know, are you guys interested in hearing that? Because we would really like to record that. And we're thinking about just taking a break, kind of to debrief. But if you're one who doesn't watch Game of Thrones and you want us to keep it on Netflix, you can also let us know about that. But either way, we're probably going to have this week and one more next week. Next week will be our little... We have 2 more weeks left, and in 2 weeks that'll be kind of our little mini-season finale before we take a break. And again, if you guys have any suggestions for what we do for final movie, give us one. Otherwise, we're probably going to pick a freaking awesome movie to review. Even if we have all seen it, we're going to do it. Do it BCD style. And Kevin Conroy is not going to guest star, sadly. I don't think we can get him.
Mark Hamill?
No, he's a little hard to get in Kevin Conroy. Oh. But anyway, all right. But next week, we're going to review a comedy a lot of you may or may not have seen. If you haven't, check it out. It's really funny. It's called Rat Race. Okay.
Until next time,
listen to Kevin Conroy be freaking awesome, okay?
Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy.
Kill the Batman.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Game over.